but we don't believe that this will be a serious obstacle. Remember, a worm cam placement is not a one-off event lost on detection. Rather, we can place as many worm cam viewpoints as we like in a given location, whether they are detected or not. And besides, at present, U.S. agencies have a monopoly on this technology. Our opponents know we have achieved a remarkable upgrade in our intelligence-gathering capabilities, but they don't even know how we are doing it. Far from developing capabilities to obstruct a worm cam, they don't yet know what they are looking for. But of course, our edge in worm cam technology cannot last forever, nor can the technology remain covert. We must begin to plan for a transformed future in which the worm cam is public knowledge, and our own centers of power and command are as open to our opponents as theirs have become to us. From Our World International News Hour, 28 January 2037, Kate Manzoni to camera. In an eerie rerun of the Watergate scandal of 60 years ago, White House staff reporting to President Maria Juarez have been publicly accused of burgling the campaign headquarters of the Republican Party, thought to be Juarez's main opponents at the upcoming presidential election of 2040. The Republicans have claimed that revelations made by Juarez's people concerning possible rule-breaking campaign funding links between the GOP and various high-profile business people could only be based on information gathered by illegal means, such as a wiretap or a burglary. The White House, in response, has challenged the Republicans to produce hard evidence of such an intrusion, which the GOP has so far failed to do. 11. The Brain Stud. As Kate watched, John Collins flew into Moscow Airport. At the airport, Collins met a younger man. The search engine quickly pattern recognized him as Andrei Popov. Popov, a Russian national, had links to armed insurgency groups operating in all five countries bordering the ROC: Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, Tajikistan, and Kyrgyzstan. Kate was getting closer. With a growing sense of exhilaration, she flew the worm cam viewpoint alongside Collins and Popov as they traveled across Moscow, by bus, by subway, in cars, and by foot, even through a snowstorm. She glimpsed the Kremlin and the old ugly KGB building, as if this was some virtual tourist adventure. But the poverty of the place was striking. Despite his choice of profession, Collins was an archetypal American abroad. Kate saw his mounting frustration with mobile phone dropouts, his amazement at seeing subway ticket vendors using abacuses to compute change, his disgust at the filth he encountered in public toilets, his disbelieving impatience when he tried to call up the search engine and received no reply. She felt a profound relief when Collins reached a small suburban Moscow airport and boarded a light plane, and she was able to initiate the system she thought of as the autopilot. Here, in the gloom of the wormworks, sitting before a soft screen, she was flying the viewpoint using a joystick and some intelligence-supporting software. Ingenious though the system was, ghosting a person's movements through a foreign city was intense, unforgiving work. A single slip of concentration could unravel hours of labor. But worm cam tracking technology had advanced to the point where she could hook the remote viewpoint to various electronic signatures, for instance, of Collins aircraft. So now her worm cam viewpoint hovered, all but invisible, in the airplane cabin, still at Collins' shoulder, as the plane lofted into the deepening Russian twilight, tracking her quarry without her intervention. It ought to get easier. The Wormworks techs were working on ways of having a viewpoint track an individual person without the need for human guidance. Ah, all that for the future. She pushed back her chair, stood up, and stretched. She was more tired than she had realized. She couldn't remember when she'd last taken a break. Absently, she scanned the continuing worm cam images. Night was falling over Central Asia, and through the plane's small windows she could see how the landscape was scarred. Swathes of it, brown wasteland, still uninhabitable 4 decades after the fall of the Soviet Union, with its ugly contempt for the landscape and its people. There was a hand on her shoulder, strong thumbs massaging a knot of muscles there. She was startled, but the touch was familiar, and she couldn't help but relax into it. Bobby kissed the crown of her head.
I knew I'd find you here. Do you know what time it is?
She glanced at a clock on the soft screen.
Late afternoon?
He laughed.
Yes, Moscow time, but this is Seattle, Washington, Western Hemisphere, and on this side of the planet, it's just after 10 a.m.